Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live over there. What's the date today?
January 26th of 06.
January 26th. So if it's January 26th where you are, we're live. If you hear, if it's not, then this is a tape you're listening to, I would guess. Would that be logical? Or maybe a DVD? Yeah,
well,
maybe a...
and unless, what was the time date thing that you were
That's
telling
true.
Me
New
about?
Zealand. New Zealand, Australia, I don't know, it's probably already 27th, maybe even Japan. I'd have to look at that. Okay. But who cares? All right. You can join us on the program. We are the right-wing radicals who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. Is that too strong, brother Joel?
No,
you think that's fine. Okay. I can't think of a nicer way to say it and get the point across. So if you believe you came from a rock, we're here to help you, okay? We really are. And if you say, oh, evolution doesn't deal with that kind of stuff, well, then you need to stop and think through your entire theory, okay? If you want to isolate yourself in a little box and say, we're only going to talk about, you know, after life gets here, well, then you don't have a coherent theory. Think about it. Where did you come from? Where are you going when you die, and why are you here between those two times? So think about it. You can instant message us. We like taking questions. We believe the Bible is true. God made the world in 6 days. The evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of humanity. And we're here to let folks know this idea is dumb. So you can get a hold of us on the program. Jonathan says he's working on something. Should be up tomorrow. It's not really an email. It's something, I don't know.
Yeah, better I guess.
Better
for,
than email.
Can for you, us. Yeah.
For us. Who cares?
It's the same as email for everyone that's going to email it.
Oh.
I think. I'm pretty sure.
But it comes here and prints itself out and whatever. Okay. He and Pavel can work on that.
Yeah.
All right. Pavel, you can handle it. Anyway, you can join us by calling 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466, extension 136. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. DrDinoLive, and we'll be glad to take your questions. Okay, we had a couple left over from yesterday and a couple of testimonies. I'm never going to get it all done, Albert, but I'm going to try. Stan Richardson writes in, Dear Kent, well, I was surfing Shoutcast on the internet tonight, and I came across your show. I've never seen a pastor teach the Bible so point blank that I could understand. I haven't been to church in over 20 years. So you can guess where my heart is. But after watching your show that I couldn't turn off, I gave my heart to Christ tonight. I prayed with you at the end of the program. Now I have to go find a Bible. I called to my little girls, 8 and 11, to come into the living room to watch it. Both of them are homeschooled, so I thought it would be interesting for them, and it made us all do a lot of thinking. Hope you stay on Shoutcast so we can watch it all night. Thank you so much. You've changed our lives forever. Being on a fixed income, it's hard for us to buy your shows on DVD, so keep it on Shoutcast. It's free. And thank you so much for everything. We've been watching now for 4 hours straight. God bless you and your family. Stan Richardson from Vero Beach, Florida. Awesome. Stan gave his heart to the Lord watching our shows. We have, I'm going to guess, 60 to 70,000 like this. This is so cool. This creation message just changes lives absolutely forever. So you can join us on the program, or if you want to watch the videotapes, you'll be surprised, folks. Once you get your questions answered, there are no excuses. You can then trust God's word completely and trust it when he says he will forgive your sins only based on what Jesus did on the cross, not at all based on anything you are doing. Your works mean zip, zero, zilch. It's blood of Christ or it's nothing. You're not going. So, okay. Thank you so much. Here's one from, let's see, Lupa Ayala, A-Y-A-L-A. Whatever. Wow. Spanish, I'm guessing. Dr. Hovind, you are in our prayers all the time. Our children love and appreciate you as we do. When they are in school, they know when they hear about evolution, they are not persuaded by the lies, thanks to you and your ministry. Michael is almost 14, Nicholas is 8, Natalie is 9. When Natalie was 7, she would tell me, you know what, Mom? The evolutionists believe in the beginning dirt. We believe in the beginning God. I know that you would love seeing this darling, precious girl quoting you with her sweet voice. It was so cute. What a blessing. It's wonderful to know that our children will never fall for the lie of secular humanism that is leading so many people unwittingly to hell. We truly believe that if we donated $1 million, that you would use the money honestly to do the Lord's work. Well, Lupe, that's correct, but you would be the first one ever to donate $1 million, okay? That would be great. We have had some folks donate some pretty good chunks. I mean, when we were wanting to buy the property next door, this guy called me and said, "Hey, I love your tapes. What are you doing?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, what projects you got going?" I said, "Well, we're trying to buy the property next door, but property's pretty expensive here in Pensacola, and yeah, we're saving up for it." He said, "Well, how much is it?" I said, "It's $100,000. He said, "How much you got?" I said, "Well, we've been going for 4 years, and we got $50,000 saved." And he said, "All right, that's all I needed. Thank you." 3 days later, check comes in the mail, $50,000 to buy the property where Building 5 is, the museum. It's just been that way for 15 years here, watching the Lord supply. Let me read the rest of his letter here. Lupe says, "We truly believe that if we donated $1 million, you would use the money for the Lord's work. Unfortunately, we don't have that kind of money. However, we will try to support your ministry as we are able." Next page, page 2. Okay. "There are only a handful of ministries that we trust, and you are at the top of the list. We get so much strength watching your boldness. You're a great speaker. Thanks, love in Christ, Lupe and Lisa Ayala. Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it so much. And we don't, you know, send out a monthly letter begging for money. God knows our needs, and supply is pretty good. There we go. Bowen writes, "I'm a strong believer, strong follower of what you teach, but I have a question. I'm in a bit of a struggle. I've asked many well-known pastors, like John MacArthur, Chuck Swindoll, etc., about where the Bible says premarital sex is a sin. I figured you would know. None of the other people have answered me. Please do." Well, the Bible says abstain from fornication. Adultery is actually sex between a couple that are not married, but I mean, they're not married to each other, but they're married. Fornication is the word you want to look up for premarital sex. I think it's a sin for multiple reasons. It's a sin against God, because he's the one who gave the commandment. So regardless of our feelings, if God says something, that settles it. It's a sin against your future wife or husband. Certainly. But what if you don't end up marrying that person? Then what? You know, it'd be a sin against them. I think it'd be a sin against yourself, because you want to be able to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. And no, just don't. It's not worth it. Okay, the Bible says in Proverbs, let's see, well, you can type in, just type in fornication, and it'll give you probably, let me see how many verses we can get on that real quick. God's Word for Windows. Forty verses. Fornication. First one, 2 Chronicles 21:11. Isaiah, oh, there's just lots of them. Matthew 5:32. Yeah, 40 verses dealing with the topic. So God's word is real clear. Absolutely no. Okay? All right. From yesterday, Richmond's Are Good wrote in, "What do you know about Kevin Trudeau?" Very little. I have seen him on TV a couple times. He speaks on health and things the government doesn't want you to know about. I've got his book. Somebody sent me his book. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. It's been busy around here, Albert. Hasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it has.
You working half days, too? Like 12 hours, like me?
Not exactly. Not that much.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so what I've heard from him speaking on TV is I'm excited about it. It's good. There are plenty of cures for diseases that the people who make drugs, of course, would never want you to know about, because then they only make money when you're sick. If you think the drug companies want to make anybody get well, you need your head examined. They don't want to make money when you're well. Are you kidding? Doctors ought to be paid by how many patients they don't have, you know. Doctor, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $200 a year if you keep me healthy. I never have to see you. Wouldn't that be a deal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the doctors would learn about nutrition and vitamins and minerals and oils and say, "Well, I'll take this, you know, and don't ever come see me. Because as soon as you come see me, you lose $200. We should work on that. Okay. That's Behoven's healthcare plan instead of Hillary. Here we go. He wants to know where he can get the Freedom Package. Does Mooneyhan still sell that or have that? Did he tell you?
Yeah.
Sort of? Yeah. Freedom Package. Richard Mooneyhan deals with stuff like that. Rich, R-I-C-H, the letter N, and Anna, A-N-A, A-N-N-A, Rich and Anna at AOL.com. You can get stuff from Rich and Anna. Okay? At AOL.com. Hope that helps. Okay, God's Creation, 1602, writes, In biology this semester, my teacher in college stated that cells can only give rise to new cells. In other words, only living things can reproduce. I would agree. I brought up the question that if no life was possible early in the history of the Earth, how did the first living cell come into existence? He had us look that question up and write it out for extra credit. My actual textbook, however, states that, quote, in today's prevailing conditions, only living cells give rise to new cells. That quote is deceitful and implies that life can come from nowhere, just not now, which is what evolutionists believe. Could you comment on this a little more, please? Well, certainly. That demonstrates precisely why evolution is a religion, not a science. You have to believe that kind of stuff. We don't see it happening today, but you better believe it happened long ago. No, sorry, I'm not going to believe that. I like science. I'm going to stick with things that you can observe, study, test, demonstrate. And evolution is certainly none of those. Okay, here we go. Doug1243 writes, rapture. Oh, it says, Albert said he believes in post-trib rapture. Hovind believes in the rapture, then the seven-year tribulation. And I gave a website that I had a four-part thing on the rapture talking about it and showing Bible stuff that indicates a pre-trib rapture. Did you read that, Albert?
Yeah, I read that.
Did it convert you?
No, I didn't. I didn't read that, but I read the...
So you didn't read the website and get converted to...
No. I read the instant message before I sent it to you.
Well, I don't know. I'm very willing to discuss... Actually, I'm willing to discuss near anything, but... Okay. I'll look at this website here that you sent us, Doug1243. It gives us a bunch of Google links to go through all the rapture questions, part 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, I don't want to look up it now, but I will do that. And yesterday, a couple others got left hanging here. Let's see. TimEagle77 wrote, Dear Dr. Dynamite, what is your take on EIG's view toward the quarter million offer as merely a gimmick that creationists should not use? I didn't know that they said that about it, Tim. If they think it's a gimmick that creationists should not use, then certainly they should not use it. That would be my take on it. So, great. I think, obviously, it's okay to use. I mean, wouldn't that be pretty obvious that I think it's okay, Albert?
Yeah.
Because I'm doing it? Yeah. Okay. Good. So, yeah, if they don't like it, okay, good. Don't use it. All right. I mean, I'm sure there's a few things about them I don't like and a few things about me they don't like, but generally they do good work. Man, I wouldn't fight them for a second. They're on our team, you know. It's kind of like during World War II, the Americans, the French, the British, and the Russians were all allies because they had a common enemy, okay? The fact is, they all had disagreements with each other, but at some point you got to say, okay, forget our disagreements. We got a bigger enemy that needs to be fought. I feel that way about most creation ministries, you know. I can disagree with them on little things, but hey, we're still fighting a bigger common enemy. Okay, Duke Guru 716. I've been searching into the Masonic Lodge and found some very disturbing stories and facts about them. I was talking with our secretary the other day and made a comment about not agreeing with the Masonic Lodge. Immediately she stopped what she was doing, stared at me with a very stern voice, and said, "You have no business talking bad about something you know nothing about." Quote, "I wanted to know your opinion about what happened, and can I reach somebody? How can I reach somebody who is so open-minded?" Okay, we'll take up the Masonic Lodge when we get back, right after the break, folks. Back in a minute. All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live over there.
January 26th of 06.
And you can join us on the program, as somebody just did, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. We'll get into Masonry. We can take phone calls first. That's our rule. Who's on the phone there, Albert?
We have John from Alabama.
Yes, John. How can we help?
Dr. Hovind, I've enjoyed your seminars and all your programs on creation, but I know you're very well read, and I had a question. I have a book called Pagan Traditions by Dr. David Ingram, and he discusses the holidays, and he's not against Christmas or Easter or anything, but he is against in the ways in which we celebrate them. And I wondered, had you had an occasion to get into the traditions behind the holidays and what you thought about that?
I don't think there's much question. Most of the holidays we have today are pagan holidays. Christmas, December 25th, used to be the shortest day of the year, and it was celebrating
hey,
the
Fred,
rebirth of the sun god when the days start to get longer again. Easter was started from the pagan festival of Astart, A-S-T-A-R-T, Babylonian god. Has nothing whatsoever to do with the resurrection of Christ. Good Friday, also another pagan holiday. You can't get crucified on Friday and rise on Sunday and spend 3 days and three nights in the grave. I mean, it'd take a genius to figure that out.
Yes, sir.
Christ was crucified on Wednesday and rose Saturday night. By the next morning, Sunday morning, when they went to the grave, he was gone. Okay, but he rose several hours before that. So, I agree. I have not read the book.
To read this book.
I'm saying I agree with the premise that most of the holidays are pagan. I would not say I agree with the book because I haven't read it yet, but it sounds like I would. Okay.
Well, and then Christmas, you know, he's got nothing against the lights and the candy cane and everything, but like the Christmas tree and the wreath and everything, he seems to indicate that was the worship of Tammu, some Babylonian god, and seems to, you know, want to shy away from those things. Do you do that in your celebration of the holidays? Or
yeah, I understand. There are people all over the spectrum on this one. First, to look at the bigger picture, I doubt many people today know or understand or care about the origin of this custom. Just like, why do we shake hands with the right hand? I mean, what if you discovered that was had a pagan origin, that custom?
Yes.
Or the deck of playing cards, you know. Does that have a pagan origin? Probably so, you know. But at some point, I mean, I hate to sound flippant, but it doesn't matter, you know. It's so lost in antiquity, who cares? You know, but nobody's thinking that way today, you know. I don't think it matters.
Hey, Fred,
it's not a battle worth fighting.
We need a whole new storage solution, more capacity, better security. Ken wants recommendations on his desk ASAP.
Whether it's good or not...
How'd you do that?
Like I, said, probably
I got the same email you did. I already called CDW. I took care of it.
CDW. The right technology, right away.
Thanks a lot. Okay, folks, you can call in 877-479-DINO. Extension 136. Or if you're out of the country, 850-479-DINO. Okay, Duke Guru, 716. Research in Masonic Lodge. Okay. And the lady got upset when you mentioned that. If you want to study Masonic Lodge, Duke, you need to get the book Masonry Beyond the Light by William Schoenbellen. Schoenbellen. Hard name. Anyway, go to chick.com, C-H-I-C-K.com, where Mr. Schoenbellen, who was in Masonic Lodge and for a long time, was actually a witch also, but was 32nd degree Mason, kept getting higher and higher, and found all kinds of things that the higher you get, the more you realize what this really is. So, we had a guy in our church. I might have told this story, Albert, already. A guy in our church, he came to me one time and said, Brother Hovind, I watched your seminar and I loved it, except I noticed you mentioned Masonic Lodge. He said, there's nothing wrong with the Masons. I've been in them for 20 years. I said, well, brother, before we get into a discussion on this, I'd like you to read a book. It's a real simple read, no, quick read book. He said, okay, I'll read it. So I gave him this one, Masonry Beyond the Light. 2 weeks later, I saw him at church Wednesday night, about the only time I get to go anymore, and he handed him a book back, and he said, Brother Hovind, I want you to know I have quit the Masonic Lodge, and I'm telling all of my friends to quit the Masonic Lodge. You are absolutely correct. This is an evil, satanic organization. So... I am convinced that most of the people in the Masonic Lodge, like 99.99% of them, do not realize what they are in. They think, honestly think it's a do-gooders club. Okay, Leah, thank you so much. There's another section of books called by John Daniels called The Scarlet and the Beast. Very good stuff. He's in Tyler, Texas. If you want to get a hold of John Daniels, just look up Scarlet and the Beast. Good stuff there. And, oh, John Ankerberg's got a good one now. Poor John Ankerberg has gone over to believing the Earth is billions of years old and following Hugh Ross. I can't believe Hugh Ross converted John Ankerberg over, as much Bible as John knows. And John's a good friend of mine, but man, absolutely dead wrong on following Hugh Ross's, I think, pagan position. Okay, Fan of Scooby writes in, hello, this is James. I would like advice. My principal doesn't like me going against evolution for a project. An email was sent saying the same thing. Well, One way to look at this, fan of Scooby, is to say, tough. If I get to choose my project, that's the project I choose. I mean, you have a right to pick your own project, I would assume, unless there are specific guidelines. Did they give guidelines and say, you know, the project cannot be about certain things? And if so, then are those guidelines a violation of your religious freedom? So call into the program. Let's discuss this rather than going email back and forth, because I'll get 20 more and forget where we were on this one. Okay, Duke Guru 716 says, this lady that added to the front of the quote, she said, I'm an Eastern Star and my husband is a Freemason, and you have no business talking about something you know nothing about. Well, you can sure read about it, so I'd recommend you read that. Marsupial 103 writes, Hi, Dr. Ovin, I have a question. The law of angular momentum, I understand the fact that it makes a Big Bang look stupid, but is it possible for the galaxy of, say, the planet, for the gravity of, say, the planet or other large object in space to cause a moon to spin backwards? Nobody's figured out a way how. Either you have to say all of the objects in space, from the molecules to the planets to the galaxies, acquired a spin afterwards. Why is anything spinning? Why are the planets spinning at all? Okay, this is the question. And why are all the molecules spinning? And, you know, what's why? Fair question. So either the initial object was spinning, and then when it broke apart, this spin was transferred to everything else, or every single thing in the universe, you know, quadrillions of things, picked up a spin somehow afterwards. I don't see how they're going to explain that one. I think they got a problem either way. So most Big Bang theorists would say, oh, the initial object was spinning. And that explains it to them. Deep EPNO writes in, do you have any debates that are point by point instead of minute by minute? I wish I did. I always ask for that. They never do it. It's always, you got 10 minutes, now you got 10 minutes. How about him take 30 minutes and explain one question, one topic, and I'll take 30 seconds and blow it out of the water. Sweetly, of course, in Christian love. So no, I'm sorry, I don't have any. I always ask that they do that, but they never do. Duke Guru writes in again, to the once saved, always saved, how do you explain Hebrews 10, for if we sin willfully after we're saved, we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. If there's nothing you can do to keep out of heaven once you've been saved, then you can't break any rule, any law, any commandment and still go to heaven, no matter if it was adultery or stealing or murder. Well, wait, I wouldn't go that far. I would say if a person is truly saved, they cannot lose their salvation and go to hell. Here's the problem. We're talking about 1 John chapter 5, I believe it is. You know, that which is born of God cannot sin. There are two Kent Hovens here, is the problem. There's the old one that was born of my parents, and that is certainly capable of sinning, and does on a regular basis. Then there's the new Kent Hovind, born 37 years ago when I got born again. Now that one is not even capable of sinning. It cannot sin. So that's the problem. They're talking about two different things here. You know, can a saved person lose their salvation? Absolutely not. I think they can continue feeding the flesh and lose their life. God will say, that's it, you're out of here. I'm taking you out of here. He can kill them and take them home. But no, there's a sin unto death. I don't ask that you should pray for that. But I don't think it's possible to lose your salvation. Otherwise, it wasn't eternal life. It was temporary life God gave you. And we can talk about that if you'd like to call in. Young Earth Guy writes, why does Mark 16:15 say, preach the gospel to every creature instead of just to man? I don't know. I met a guy once that used to preach to every creature. When he saw a bird, he'd start preaching to him. When he saw, you know, a squirrel, he'd start preaching to him. I mean, to me, that's a little far-fetched. But hey. Okay, do what you want to do. We'll be back after the break and get the rest of your questions. Get them into Dr. Dino Live right away. Good evening, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Albert Live.
January 26th of 06.
I figured out why you're always so perky on the program.
Why is that?
You take off work a half hour early and go take a shower before the program, don't you? So you're wide awake. I come in here and sit in this nice comfy chair, and it's like, oh, crash. You know, of course, I started at 4:30 this morning, and it's been a long day.
See, I didn't get up till 6:40 this morning.
Yep. I had to get up before breakfast. Can you believe that? It's awful. I've been doing that for a long time. Anyway, okay, you can join us on the program here by calling 877-479-DINO. 877-479-3466. And we go to extension 136, because I don't believe anybody's going to answer the phone in the other extensions. So that's 5 o'clock, man. They quit. They split out of here. Or you can call 850-479-DINO if you're outside the U.S. And if you can't figure out DINO, that's 3466 for you alphabetically challenged folks. And then call extension 136. You don't need to listen to the answering. You can listen to it if you like. But when they say, hello, we're not here now, leave a message, you know, whatever. I don't know what they say, but, you know, just forget all that. Hit 136. It'll take you straight in. Okay, here we go. J.R. Mosier, 3, instant messages us at Dr. Dino Live, and says, can you point me to an online reference for the heaven/heavens debate you mentioned in one of your videos? I guess I'm not sure what that question means. Did anything further on that, Albert? Did they explain that?
What was that?
Heaven/heavens debate that I mentioned in one of the videos. I guess maybe they're talking about in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven, singular. Every other version of the Bible that I have seen says heavens, except King James says heaven. Later, it mentions heavens, like Psalm 19, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. All the scripture, sometimes it has heaven, sometimes it has heavens. In fact, we can find out how many times. So, heaven, H-E-V-E-N, just the word heaven is mentioned 551 times. If you add the S on there, heavens is mentioned 127 times. So, chapter 1, verse 1 should say, in the beginning God created the heaven, singular. King James has it exactly right. The older I get, the more I believe they have everything exactly right. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, thus the heavens, plural, were finished, and all the host of them. Sometime during that first week, as God was making everything, he made heaven and earth. Then he divided heaven up into three slices. The first slice is called our atmosphere, where the birds fly. Genesis 1:14 talks about that. The second slice is where the outer space is, mentioned in Genesis 1. First one I said was 21, verse 21, about the birds fly in the heaven. The second one is where the sun, moon, and stars are. Verse 14 talks about he made the lights in the firmament of the heaven. And then third one is where God lives. The only reference I can find to it in the entire Bible is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul said he was caught up to the third heaven. I can't find any other references to that. If anybody knows of one, please let me know. Okay, so, yeah, the heaven-heavens controversy, I'm assuming now this is what you're talking about in your question, then, yes, I don't know of any online references. There's quite a few websites that deal with the authority slash accuracy of the King James Version. If you want to study one of those and see if you find something, you could start with avpublications.com. That's authorized version, avpublications.com. See, you know, if they either have information or can tell you where to get it. Okay, hope that helps. Here we go. Harbinger 518. I was watching one of Kent Hovind's seminars, and he mentioned DC streets being in the shape of an inverted pentagram. I looked at a map and didn't really see that. Not to be a skeptic, I was just wondering if it was a hoax. Well... No, it's definitely legitimate. Let me go to Microsoft Streets and Trips and see if we can zoom in on that. Washington, D.C. Just somebody asked me if I believe in an ozone hole. I said, oh, yeah, there's a huge ozone hole right over Washington, D.C. because of all the caustic hot air that rises off of that place. Okay. Washington, D.C. If you zoom in, Pennsylvania Avenue and some of these streets, you know, they're not going straight. Makes you wonder why the special angle here. Okay. Do you see a pentagram right there, Joel?
Yeah.
Okay, start with DuPont Circle in the upper left. Go down to the lower right, straight to New York Avenue. When as soon as you hit New York Avenue, that's going down. Let me zoom in just a little bit. I would say, except for the one that's cut off, there's pretty clear pentagram. Yeah, they don't have it, a few at one spot, but I would say, yeah. Okay, Rhode Island Avenue Northwest is part of it. Massachusetts Avenue Northwest is part of it. Connecticut Avenue Northwest goes right to Lafayette Park at this, the lower point of the pentagram. Is that where the satanic symbol, the obelisk is? It's not right there on Lafayette Park, is it? Oh, the White House. Yeah. Comes in, is that New York Avenue? Yeah, New York Avenue. Comes into the White House lawn. Right there is where they do a lot of the ceremonies, too, by the way. Stand right there when the president speaks to the nation. I think that's where they do the swearing-in. Yeah, do the swearing-in right there. Now, the obelisk, which is a satanic symbol, is a couple of miles away. Here we go, rather reflecting pond. There, no, that's Lincoln Memorial. I've been there a bunch of times, but I guess I don't worry about memorizing the streets of Washington, D.C., but... Yeah, I think you need to look at it, get Microsoft Streets and zoom in, take a look. Pretty clear. Inverted pentagram. You were just pointing out, Joel, the satanic symbol on the Masonic Lodge, the inverted pentagram. Star, Eastern Star, these people, that kind of stuff. And again, I don't think most people involved in Masonic Lodge realize that what they're in. I mean, they really think they're in a do-gooders club, and most of them are really nice people. I'm not anti-Masonic Lodge. I'm simply for truth and against error. Okay, Harbinger 581. Get a DC map. Take a look at it. See if you don't see it. The lowest point of the inverted five-pointed star, the pentagram, is the White House front lawn. Here we go. New housefly. Does that mean there's an old housefly? It must be. Albert, I was driving my church bus one time, picking up a bunch of kids for church, and I'm driving down this country road in, I think it was Michigan when I was going to school. They had Harmony Baptist Church across the street. I mean, right straight across the street, little country road, was New Harmony Baptist Church. 1/4 mile down the street was Greater New Harmony Baptist Church. I would say that Baptist church didn't have much harmony, and they should maybe pick a new name, okay? At least 2 splits out of that one. All right. Here we go. New housefly writes in, Dr. Oven, may I ask you to mention on the air the website satansgovernment.com? Well, let me see what that's about here, if it's opening up, okay? satansgovernment.com. Greatest conspiracy known to man. Huh. Interesting. Okay. I don't have time to look at it now, but that's good. Yeah, I'll check that out some other time. satansgovernment.com. Okay. Thanks for sending that. Let's see. Here's Little Italy, 32,000. I was wondering if you could please give a brief update regarding the New World Order. Heard you speak about it early in, I believe, 2002. Well, it's 2006, and I'm just wondering any new information. Oh, man, there's so much going on now with people who want to develop a one-world government, the New World Order. it's racing forward on all fronts. The financial front is probably the main driving force, because the love of money is the root of all evil. There are people who have most of the money, and they would like the rest of it. In their mind, the perfect world is they have it all, and just keep alive enough people to, provide their food for them. There are people who will come in and shoot you to take your stuff, okay? If there were no, government and police and authorities, etc., there are people who would come in and shoot you and take away your house and just, drag you out in the yard and bury you and live in your house. I mean, there are evil people on this planet. Well, the same exact thing is happening on a so much bigger scale. There are some people that want to kill everybody on the planet, so that they can take over everything. You know, pinky in the brain, rule the world. And they're willing to actually, you know, spray the skies with poisons and kill the entire population, kill the whole country. And then they'll have an antidote for themselves, of course, and come in and, you know, take everything. In their mind, that's the perfect world. You know, they own it all. So, yeah, there are some pretty bad people out there. New World Order, Alex Jones has a lot of good stuff on that. Alex, I don't know if it's alexjones.com, but you can try that and see if that'll get you somewhere. Okay, and that's the financial front. There's also the religious front where they're trying to get a one-world religion, you know, get all the religions together. And let's quit arguing about things and let's just all worship Mother Earth, you know. You could look at it from a political perspective. They're trying to politically unite all the countries, you know, with the GATT Treaty, NAFTA, North American Free Trade. You know, it's happening all around us. You know, so, see, I'm working on a much bigger kingdom called the Kingdom of Christ. And so that's all that's going to matter. Read Psalms chapter 2, Little Italy, if you get nervous about the New World Order. It'll calm you right down. Okay. Now's laughing at their plans. Cerebral Noise writes in, is it unhealthy to have gold fillings or crowns for your teeth? You'd have to ask a dentist that question, but I would say no. Gold especially is absolutely inert. It does nothing. Now, the mercury fillings, yes, those are bad. But no, gold fillings, actually in the old days, they used to take real thin, they would drill out the cavity, take real thin gold sheets and set them in the hole and tap it in like with a little punch or an ice pick. And it kept building up, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 layers of gold leaflets. I've had dentists tell me that those old type fillings will last for 70 or 80 years. You know, they stay right there. Just because gold is so much more malleable than the silver and mercury amalgam fillings that they do, that it just makes such a tight fit that bacteria can't get in. I asked one dentist, I said, hey, how tight does the filling fit to the tooth? I mean, you'd think it'd be, you know, zero space. He said, oh, no. He said the gap between the filling and the tooth is probably wide enough that 8 bacteria could go in side by side. Well, 8 bacteria is still pretty small. I mean, that's huge. When you consider that's what you're trying to keep out, is the bacteria. And 8 of them can go in side by side on a silver amalgam filling. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Tim Eagle, 77, writes in. You can get your questions in the pile here, folks, right away. Actually, you can get ahead of the whole pile by calling 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Or Tim Eagle writes in at Dr. Dino Live. He says in Genesis 9:21-25 about Noah being drunk and naked and Ham being cursed for looking upon his nakedness and did something. What really happened? Tim Eagle, I have no clue. There is lots of speculation about that. I mean, like, all kinds of sermons have been preached on that one from people who don't have a clue either.
James, hi.
So, I would say,
yes,
it appears that Noah, I guess I would give Noah the benefit of the doubt and say probably Noah had never seen things turn to alcohol before.
Delaware? All right.
Is your mic on too? Okay. No?
What?
Tell you what, Tim Eagle, let me take your question in just a minute. Who's on the phone there?
We have James from Delaware.
Delaware. I've been up to Delaware. Beautiful place. What's up, James? Hello. James, still there? Oh, you got to push a button. Okay, there we go. Okay, James, yes, sir.
Hey, this is James from the seminar in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
How come this isn't saying on the radio what we're saying?
It is. It's a 6-second delay. So you'll hear it six.
Yeah, I hear it. You were still talking about the Noah.
Okay, so turn your radio down. It'll really confuse you to listen to both with the 6-second delay in there. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'm calling in because I'm doing a project for like more educated students, and I'm doing it against evolution. And I've been sent to the principal because they teach evolution in my school, and so I might not be able to do my project on this.
Sent to the principal for what?
Because the teacher for the class that I was just in, she was like, well, we're going to send you down to the principal, and we'll see with her if it's okay for you to do this project.
Hmm. What's the project? What did the teacher tell all the students to do?
It's just, like, you can choose the topic for your project, but I just decided to choose mine on creation versus evolution.
So the teacher said, everybody pick a project and pick a topic and do a project on it, right?
Yeah.
And you chose creation evolution.
Yeah.
And they're discriminating against that?
Yeah.
Well, you need to go to a website that's real simple. LC, the letter L, the letter C. That stands for Liberty Council. LC. I don't remember if it's org or com, but try one or the other. Yeah.
I'll try org.
Okay, LC, Liberty Council. They are in Florida, Orlando area.
Okay, got me.
Yeah. Okay, they defend this type of thing. They can simply write a letter to the school saying, excuse me, do you discriminate against, you know, students who have a religious preference? The teacher will say, oh, no, go ahead, do the project.
Okay, well, which part of the website should I go to write into them?
That I don't know. You'd have to, look around on their website and see how do you, it's probably a button that says contact us.
Okay.
And just write them a little email, explain what happened, tell them the whole story. Because if the teacher said anybody can pick a project, and anybody can pick a topic and do a project on it, and then they say anything except creation, well, that's discrimination.
Yeah, and they didn't even say that. They would say choose any project topic you want. So.
Okay, well, that's the one you chose. What's the problem?
I don't know. They just don't want me doing it because that's what they teach.
What grade are you in?
Fourth.
Hmm. Well, you should certainly be sweet, be respectful, you know, be nice, and assume that the teacher is, you know, not the enemy. They're trying to teach, and they think maybe there's a problem with that.
Okay.
So if I was you, I guess I would just ask questions, you know, and I would do it in writing, I would think, so you can have a record. Teacher, what is the problem with my topic? You know, didn't you say we can pick a topic and do a project? You know, just ask questions and let them answer the questions.
Okay.
I would like to, if you could send me, James, anything you write on this, you know, write out your side of the story.
For it to you or?
Well, write it to give it to the teacher, but send me copies too if you can. Is your mom or dad going to help you on this?
They're supposed to choose a mentor, and mine's my mom.
Okay. Maybe your mom ought to listen into this too, then.
Okay, I'll go get her. Just
yeah, because, you know, it's sure not right. But we got a break here, folks. We'll be back right after the break. All right, we are back, folks. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live.
January 26th of 06.
And you can join us on the program as James had. I'm assuming James is still there at 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Still there, James?
Yeah.
Sorry about the break there. Did you get your mom?
Well, we have the different, you know, time zones, so my parents are eating dinner, so
okay.
Can't come.
Well, you call in any time during the regular day and talk to me. And you might want to get a tape recorder and record the conversation, because I would say whatever you do about this, from now on, it needs to be in writing. And if the teacher talks to you or the principal talks to you, after they're done talking to you, go home and write out as much best you can remember what they said. So you could put it on paper and say, you know, on January 26th, I met with the principal, and she said blah, 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 you know, and then, you know, send it to the principal and say, you know, is this correct? You know, is my recollection of our conversation correct? As soon as they realize you're starting to put things in writing, they're going to start thinking, man, we better be real careful here, because we're going to end up with a lawsuit if we're not careful, because we're violating this kid's rights. You have a right to do your paper on creation.
Okay. Yeah, because my sisters were like, if they don't let you do this project, we're going to sue the school. But they were exaggerating.
Well, Liberty Council, lc.org, or com, whatever. Was it com or org?
Org,
okay. They would be the ones to help if they would do it. They're pretty busy. Okay?
Okay.
Keep me posted. Call back. Let me know what the principal says or do it. Tell them to call me.
Okay. Yes, thanks.
All right, you're welcome. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks, James. Okay. Tim Eagle was calling, asking, it says in Genesis 9 about Noah being drunk and naked and Ham being cursed for looking upon his nakedness and did something. What really happened? Like I said, there's all kinds of sermons on this. I don't know that I have a positive answer. It appears that Noah got drunk, obviously, from the Bible, but I don't think Noah knew that grape juice would make him drunk. I give him the benefit of the doubt and say probably before the flood, nothing would ferment like that. And so when Noah got drunk, I think it was accidental. He didn't know that was going to happen. And then Ham... Noah's laying in his tent naked. Ham walks in, sees his father, and instead of just covering him up and saying, oh man, dad's got a problem, you know, not saying anything, he goes out and starts laughing to his two brothers. The two brothers got more sense, and they get a blanket and put it over their shoulders, walk in backwards, and cover him up. And then Noah woke from his wine and said, cursed be Canaan. I think that's all that happened. I don't think there's anything more. I've heard preachers say, oh wow, there's all kinds of other things happening, you know. I don't buy that for a second. Okay, who's on the phone there, Albert?
We have Jonathan from Pal Talk.
Jonathan from Pal Talk. Yes, sir, Jonathan.
Hey, Kent. Hey there.
Howdy. Are the atheists ever going to call in?
I don't know. If they can ever get the gusto to sit in the room for more than 5 minutes without running away.
What is the problem? I make myself available for an hour and a half every day.
I know. That's the thing here. We sit here in my little chat room with your name on it, and put it out here, and they sit there, and they ponder it, maybe. They think about something. They go, they run away. So.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, what I was wondering, I was listening to some of the other Jared recordings that you had, that they have up on a website, and I noticed something that you and Jonathan Sampson were talking about during one of those about, I don't know, 4 months ago. You mentioned, or he mentioned, I'm not sure if he'd be ever followed up on this. I was wondering about it. You said there were some crickets, and he said there was a salamanders and stuff that were frozen, and they come back to life.
Well, there's stuff like that on Nature Channel all the time. They can freeze them. They have some kind of antifreeze in their blood.
Really?
Yeah, they get totally frozen solid as a brick. Come back to life when they thaw back out. Oh, yeah.
Huh.
You seen that before, Joel? The crickets, they can freeze and... Yeah, they've discovered there's actually several animals that do that. I don't remember the salamander one, but I know I've seen it on Discovery Channel and Nature Channel about these. I go to Most Extreme, you know. What's that show about? Extreme Animals? Animal Planet show. Okay?
Wow, I think there's spiders as well. They have some kind of natural antifreeze, huh?
Right.
Dang. People talk about cryogenics. I guess you can't improve on what God gave people, or God gave animals.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It makes makes you wonder. Of course, a lot of animals, you know, will hibernate, you know, when they get chilly or get lethargic. They can't run around. Like I think during Noah's Ark, you know. I don't know about freezing, but I think a lot of animals just simply estivated, didn't have much activity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to type in freezing crickets.
Freezing crickets. Are these just the generic house cricket, you know, that chirps, or is this some kind of special cricket?
Well, I just went to Google. Freezing crickets. Water dragon, pest control, colony scent. Okay, the Mormon cricket, a shield-backed katydid, not a true cricket, lives in western North America, in a rangeland-dominated, let's see, economic importance, food habits, migratory habits, hatching, identification, The Discovery Channel had something on. Maybe somebody else can find it.
It's called the Mormon Cricket.
Well, I just typed in freezing crickets, and that's the first one that came up. I don't know if that's the one or not.
Mormon Cricket. So it was a little sharper now. I can make a joke about that, but
yeah.
Mormon Cricket.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I guess they do have those on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, there. I mean, I know. The answer to the question is, I know there are creatures that can actually freeze. And
freeze solid.
Freeze solid.
For how long? Do you know? Is there any running record on that?
I don't know.
That would be interesting to find.
I tell you what, if you can find
that up.
Something similar topic, go to Reader's Digest. Publishes several giant, big books, tabletop books. Strange Stories, Amazing Facts.
Wow.
In that book by Reader's Digest, I've got some of the older ones in the 70s and early 80s. There are quite a few stories recorded of people breaking open a solid rock, and a toad is still alive inside the solid rock. Usually it's a flint nodule. There have been several instances where somebody broke open a lump of coal, and there was a toad or a salamander still alive inside a solid lump of coal.
Well, now that makes me wonder how that's possible when it's got, does his body go down to such a slow, low functioning rate that it, to keep alive, it's got to consume or burn something, even if it's a tiny little flame somewhere.
Well, they discovered when the bears hibernate, they actually recycle all their own body wastes. Their urine is recycled. The poison.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. Check out bear hibernation. It's pretty amazing.
Well, that seems like it could go on for indefinitely, even if that were possible.
Of course, in Reader's Digest, they're wondering how on earth can... Maybe you can see if you can find that. It's a big book. Big, it's a dark blue cover. I was going to look for it here. No clue where. I would say it would be just in the regular book section, probably 100 or 200 section to the right. Reader's Digest, Strange Stories, Amazing Facts. It might even be sideways in the shelf like that one because it's too big to fit standing up. Yeah, one of my guys is looking for it here. Reader's Digest, Strange Stories, Amazing Facts. There are quite a few stories in there about toads or frogs or salamanders being in solid rock. Now.
Solid rock.
Yep.
What kind of rock? How'd they get there?
Various different. Sometimes it's flint. Sometimes it's, that's tonight? Oh. Secretary's handing me a note here.
I'm guessing it's not lava, otherwise it'd be a
No, it wouldn't
critter,
be lava. Okay. Here's the concept. In there, they're wondering, because they're finding rock, and of course they have dated this rock at 200 million years old.
Woo-hoo!
And they're trying to figure out, how can a toad stay alive for 200 million years? Okay. Rather than questioning, hey, maybe it's not 200 million years old, guys. Okay. So I would say probably this is something that formed during the flood, and that animal's been in there for 4,400 years.
Good grief.
So how long can it... I know that many people take toads and stuff and try... You can take a toad and cool it down and then stick it in the freezer, and it'll stay frozen. They'll hibernate for several years.
Mm-hmm,
I'm getting a feedback here, Albert. Maybe the speaker.
It's all the way down.
Oh, it's. Hang on, Joel. It's about a third that size and twice as big, three times as big a book.
What do you know? What kind of species of frogs or toads?
There were several of them that were studied. Some were kept alive for several weeks. I think all of them, within a few weeks, died because. Several of them, their mouth had actually grown shut. They couldn't open their mouth, so they couldn't eat.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's about that size, Joel, only it's not that one. Reader's Digest, kind of a gray-blue color, and it's hardback. And if we can find it, we'll get it.
Dang.
So,
well, then that would explain some kind of flood thing for them to get in there in the first place with sediments or something like you say with all the rushing waters and everything.
Now, in that same Reader's Digest book, they told the story about they were blasting a railroad line through a tunnel in France in 1850 or 60. And when they broke open this huge limestone boulder in the middle of this tunnel, it's kind of in their way to put the tunnel, pterodactyls came out of the rock and stretched its wings, squawked, took a couple steps, and fell over dead. Of course, scared these workers to death. They had, a 9-foot, 3-inch wingspan, if I recall. A pterodactyl alive in the rock.
What'd they do with the body?
I don't remember. It was 1800s, but they said both sides of the boulder, you could still see the impression where this pterodactyl had been imprisoned in this solid rock.
Wow.
That's impressive. That reminds me of another thing that was on the tape on one of the Jared recordings I was listening to yesterday. You mentioned, you know, with Quetzalcoatl and Pteranodon and all those Indian legends and stuff like that. I was wondering, has anybody ever gone and tried to find one and shoot one or come bring it back or something or take a picture?
Oh, yeah. There have been several expeditions. There's actually a couple of people have sent rewards out to people in Venezuela, Cameroon and Congo, Africa. You know, if you can catch one of these or if you can shoot one, I'll buy it off you kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So far, nothing's come up.
Okay.
There have been quite a few reported sightings of those type of flying creatures. I'll tell you what, go to genesispark.com or .org. It's Dave Wetzel's website up in New Hampshire.
Genesis Park.
He went to Papua New Guinea and stayed there for weeks and talked to natives there about the creature. He and a buddy of his did. They showed them all kinds of pictures of different flying creatures, from, you know, sparrows to seagulls to stellar eagles to everything else. And quite a few of the natives picked out I don't know how many different types of pterodactyls there are, probably 10, you know. But many of the natives picked out one species consistently, saying, oh, yeah, that one's still alive around here.
Oh, so, yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
that's on Dave Wetzel's website, genesispark.com.
All right, I'll look that one up, Genesis Park there. The other thing that I noticed was on, you didn't go into it, and I guess Jared never caught you on it. He never, I guess, wanted an explanation. You mentioned it was like a half of a sentence where you said something about Neanderthal man and the shape of his skull and the muscle built or something like that was due to longevity.
Correct.
Dr. Jack
Kuwazo.com.
Okay.
Dr. Jack, J-A-C-K, Kuwazo, C-O-U-Z-Z-O. It's Italian, Kuwazo.
Okay.
Dr. Jack Kuwazo is a dentist in New Jersey. Spent 30-some years doing dental work. He went to Europe with an x-ray machine and actually got into the museums with permission and x-rayed the actual Neanderthals. I mean, the real bones. Everybody over here only gets to see copies, okay? He found all kinds of things, and including the fact that the Neanderthals probably were over 200 years old, normal humans who were living really old. Because the more you chew with your jaw muscles, the bigger your eyebrow ridge gets. If you could, you know, if you could see somebody with no skin on them, you know, as they chew, the muscles attach all along your eyebrow ridge and along the arch by your eye. But actually, the chewing muscle creates a stress on your eyebrow, which then enlarges the bone.
Well, you can feel it in your temple when you chew. Most people can do that.
Well, if you can put your fingers on your eyebrow and chew, you'll feel it pulling a little bit, especially out toward the outer edge. Well, any bodybuilder knows the more you use muscles, the bigger the bone grows in response. And so the Neanderthals were just really old people.
Huh. So, how far does that go back? Because people aren't living to 200 years now. It's not like in the pre-flood times.
That's why even post-flood, the people lived to be 400 for several generations.
Yeah, I noticed. You know.
Probably the Neanderthals were those people.
Huh. Okay. Well, that would mean that back then, you know, people, skeletons or whatever, like perhaps, you know, Joshua or Ezekiel or one of those dudes, they probably looked different than people do today. When you've never seen somebody who's 600 years old or 700 or 400. Huh.
Well, Jack Kuwazo in his book, Buried Alive, which you can get on our website, drmander.com, just look for Buried Alive. Yeah, it's a fascinating book. He's got lots of...
Kuwazo, that's Kuwazo.
Right.
Okay.
He came and spoke at our boot camp. Now, you might also want to get the boot camp DVDs of the speaking, because you can get the whole series of all the different speakers at boot camp last year. It was really good. And Jack Kuwazo spoke several times. We got it on DVD. It was awesome about this topic.
That's okay.
Okay.
Alrighty, jackkuwazo.com. All right. Well, I noticed at the beginning of the show there was the that guy calling in about the pentagram there in Washington, D.C. That Landsat satellite, I've seen that as well, and you got the White House down at the southern point, I think the Lincoln Memorial down at another one of the tips. They also talk about one of the streets around there. I think it's on one of those sites, maybe you gave, or maybe Alex Jones or something like that. that's got, I think it was some ancient insignia for Satan, some like a, it's like a bunny rabbit with a stick man body. That's also depicted on one of the roads around there, maybe just a triple tau, one of those geometric shapes, but I've also heard about that as well. That was interesting when I found that. I like showing that to people. Hey, check this out. Guess where this is, you know, to remove any doubt, you know, but,
All right.
So, yeah. Anyway, well, yeah, that's all I was wondering about here.
Okay, sounds
hey,
great.
Hey, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Someone instant messaged me asking if you have a chat room that they could go to. Do you have a website or anything that you could give?
Well, yes. I hope it's okay with Richard. I hope he doesn't mind that I put the show. It's because I know it's through Truth Radio. But, you know, I'm out on Pal Talk. And Pal Talk is a totally free chatting service with microphones and videos. It's been around for, you know, since around 1999 or so, 2000, how long it's been around. And
okay, we got a break, Jonathan.
Yeah, okay.
Hang on through the break and then tell people how to get on there if they want.
All right.
We'll be back in about a minute, folks. Thanks a lot. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Got my tang tangled up there, Albert. Ken Hovind and Awesome Albert live.
January 26th of 06.
All right. And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Or you can... Is somebody on the phone?
Yeah, we still have Jonathan.
We still have Jonathan. That's right. Okay. I'm getting ready to go with my message. Nice way. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLIV. Okay. Jonathan, you're asking about getting on Pal Talk. How do people do that?
Oh, yeah, I was saying, I was somebody that was okay with Richard that I'd do this. It's a totally free service, you know. Nobody, you literally don't have to pay for it. It's completely free. The service itself, they got all kinds of. It's just like any other chat room messaging service. The only difference is you can have microphones, so you can actually hear voices and hear people talking, and you can put video cameras up and stuff like that as well. And like I said, I created a room. Since I put it under the social issues category, and I turned on the internal microphone in my computer, so that whatever I'm getting from Truth Radio, I key up my microphone and put it right into the room, so anybody that comes in hears exactly what everybody else in the world hears when they tune in to Truth Radio. And I open up the room every day when your show comes on, and I just pipe it right in there. Pal Talk's a free service. You know, PALTALK, just like your pal buddy, you know, Pal Talk, like any of those free instant message services. But like I said, the only difference is you have microphones.
Sure.
And
all right, so anybody can just get on there and join the conversation, huh?
Right, right. Okay. And then sometimes they do. So, but right. not a lot today, though. So.
Tell the evolutionists, call anytime. We'll
yep,
take all the questions.
Yep, that's
what we do. Hey, thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, let's see. You can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Our instant message is Dr. Dino Live. Okay, Joycelyn. Sorry I took so long, Joycelyn. We're at your question now. It says, Joycelyn says, assuming your silly claim is right, I detect already this is a person who doesn't agree with me. Is that reasonable, Joel? Assuming your silly claim is right, that dinosaurs and man lived together at one time, why is there no evidence for this claim, number one? And number two, what happened to the dinosaurs? Okay, dinosaurs is misspelled, Joycelyn. It's D-I-N-O, not A, but that's okay. Okay, let's see. Well, dinosaurs always lived with man. They called them dragons. The word dinosaur was not made up till 1841. So for almost all of human history, these same animals were called dragons. And there are thousands of examples of people killing dragons in history. Ancient artwork, legends, coins, cave paintings. You need to watch my video number 3, where we cover that for 2 hours. All sorts of evidence of dinosaurs living with man and what happened to them. Well, three things, actually. Number one, the climate was different after Noah's flood, so many of them would have died from the climate change because reptiles, you know, they never stop growing. But so, which means if they live 900 years, they would grow huge. But if they only live 20 years, then they don't get so big. So the climate probably took care of most of them. Secondly, there was man's hunting, calling them dragons, killing most of them as the human population expanded around the world. And thirdly, a few are still alive. Loch Ness Monster, Lake Champlain Monster. Go to my website, Dr. Dino, and go to the article about dinosaurs in the 20th century and see the picture of the one that washed up on the beach in California, 1925. Tell me what that is, if it's not a plesiosaur. Who's on the phone there, Albert?
We have Matt from San Diego.
Okay, Matt. What's your question? Go ahead.
Is this Dr. Holden?
Yes, sir. Live on the air. Go ahead.
My question for you is has to do with the Bible and health, or health in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to find out if Dr. Hovind can recommend, with all the different vitamin companies out there and all the marketing hype, if there's any particular program that he endorses or recommends, or if he'd be willing to share what he personally uses, because I'd like to get on a good vitamin, mineral, and oil regimen.
Yeah, there are 16 vitamins, 60 minerals, and 3 oils. At least, that your body needs. I'm not sure. Plus, of course, you need water, sleep, exercise, you know, stuff like sunlight.
Right.
I take a variety, okay? I've taken Shaklee for years. Really enjoy Shaklee. They do good. I've been very healthy with them. I take Purity products. You can go to BillSardi.com, S-A-R-D-I. Actually, I think that's his name is Bill Sardi, but I think it takes you to his website, which is Knowledge of Health or something like that. But Bill Sardi will get you on there. BillSardi.com, and it'll take you to knowledgeofhealth.com. He is one of the experts on this topic. I would ask him any questions on health, okay?
Sounds great. By the way, we sure enjoyed you when you came out last year to Horizon in San Diego.
I know. When are they going to have me back?
You know what? I talked to Mike, my pastor, and we were talking about that recently, and he said, man, we got to get him back out here. You might remember us. I've got the little boy, and I was doing sound for the band that played that day, and you were showing Wyatt how to make the planes, and you shot him all the way across the parking lot and over the apartment.
Kids like those airplanes, don't they?
Oh, yeah. But I watch your stuff all the time, and I sure appreciate what you're doing.
All right.
I'm actually thinking about opening up a little creation resource center in my building here in San Diego, and I think I'm going to be in a position to do that pretty soon.
Good. Have you been to ICR up in San El Cajon?
Yeah, out there, Santee.
Santee, right.
I have, and I want to do things a little different, more of a virtual. If I can set up a room that has a nice kind of theater feel, there's so much that we can have on the computer and with slides and things like that, rather than trying to build up a whole place.
Right.
I think I might have a little better, better efficiency doing it that way with all the resources that are out there. But anyways, have a great day, and I sure enjoyed talking with you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. All right, folks, you can join us. Our one lonely phone line is open, 877-479-DINO. Okay, did I answer the silly question about, my question about my silly belief that dinosaurs, I did that, okay. Okay, here's one from I-E-S-O-U-S-M-Y-S-O-T-O-R. Wow, my Sauter. Whatever that is. Okay. I was talking to a friend. He presented me with that there is no evidence for Jewish people's bones in Israel, and they never went into captivity. What would you say to them? Boy, that's not a topic I would know anything about. I'm not sure how you tell a bone is Jewish. Albert? How would you tell a bone is Jewish?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good one. You better talk to a forensic expert on that one. But there are a lot of people trying to rewrite history and say the Holocaust never happened, you know. And people always, you know, try to rewrite history, revisionists, you know. I'd be cautious about that. Okay, here we go. Scott JF23 writes, I just saw Dr. Kent speak this past weekend in North Carolina. I asked him what he thought about September 11th, and I was wondering if anybody asked him about September 11th afterwards. He can answer through instant message or on the air if he gets a chance. Thanks. Well, I believe September 11th, what happened there was probably either condoned or sanctioned or caused by our own government to try to get the Patriot Act passed through Congress where they can take away your rights. I think that was probably one of the Patriot Act, one of the most unpatriotic things ever to happen to the country. They needed a tragedy or something bad to happen to be the catalyst or the trigger to allow this to go through Congress. That's the way evil governments always work, you know, create a crisis so that you can bring in your already pre-programmed solution. Hitler burned the Reichstag. Oh, well, senators, no place to meet, so I'll just take over as dictator, you know. Nero burned Rome. Well, I guess these Christians burned the city down. Let's go kill the Christians. He used it as an excuse to persecute Christians. That's been the history of mankind for thousands of years. Create a crisis, a phony crisis, and then, you know, come in with your magic solution. That's what happened September 11th, I believe. Now, the website 9/11 in plain sight has a ton of stuff on that. 9/11 in plain, P-L-A-N-E, site.com. Okay, satansgovernment.com, this person writes in, the full text of the book is readable on the site. I have to stop listening today, but thank you very much. If you decide to mention the site on air, take care. Okay, I will. Hippie writes, can you give me a link to the Pentagram site, Albert? I have a Windows and Streets program in my computer because I travel so much, you know. I plug my little GPS thing into this computer when I'm driving, and it tells me where I'm at, and I can type in the address, the quickest way to get there. Because I travel a lot, and so $100 for a GPS, and I think Microsoft Streets. Joel, you saw it, didn't you? The Pentagram right there.
Sure.
It's any map program. You might want to try. What's a map program you can get on the internet?
Just type MapQuest.
You just go to MapQuest.com or something.
Yeah, I think so. And then type in city and state. So Washington, D.C.
Yeah, just zoom in on Washington. Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, the streets are shaped that way. I didn't make it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see. Hippie says, I understand about the sacrifices in the Old Testament, but if you paid your sacrifice for last year and a person sinned and then died before their next sacrifice, how would they get saved? That's a new question. I haven't seen that one ever in my life. If they died between sacrifices.
I've thought of that before. You know, in the Old Testament when.
I don't know. I think the fact that they brought their sacrifice demonstrates their faith in God's system of forgiveness based on the blood of a substitute. So, was salvation eternal before the crucifixion of Christ? Now, that's a theological question I've never thought about before. I can't answer it. Sorry, don't know. I'll think about it, though. Hippie also writes, Infowars.com is Alex Jones, FYI. Okay, Infowars, I-N-F-O, Wars, okay? Here we go. Ann Rishu writes, I've heard that you spoke about how scientists / astronomers were expecting a very thick layer of dust on the moon when they sent out Apollo and all, but when they landed, they found it was not near as thick as they thought. Do you have any more information like this that you spoke of? Yes, and if you look on creationscience.com, that's Walt Brown's website. He has all kinds of information about, you know, conversations with NASA people and articles that appeared, you know, at the time when it happened. I mean, it was real obvious there were people who were concerned about landing on the moon, just like before Y2K, there were people very seriously concerned about what might happen. Rightfully so. Nobody knew what was going to happen. You know, maybe nothing. And it turned out very little did happen. There were quite a few glitches with Y2K, but it wasn't near as serious as they thought. You know, quite a few computers did fail. Okay. Well, let's see. As far as the landing on the moon, I would steer you to creationscience.com. I do cover that on my video 1, I think, at the end, or possibly video 7, where it comes up. What about the dust on the moon? I don't think we know for sure how much dust should accumulate on the moon per year or per 10,000 years. There are too many variables in there. Okay. Here we go. The Bartman. I once blasted a wasp nest with liquid propane and froze them instantly. But about 30 minutes later, they were alive and flying around. Well, there you go. Blasted a wasp nest with liquid propane, froze them instantly. 30 minutes later, they were alive. Interesting. Don't know. Who's on the phone there? Albert, we got about 1 minute.
We have Travis from Michigan.
Travis, we're probably going to run out of time, but go ahead. What's your question?
Yeah, I got a question upon symbols, actually. There's a symbol that I was kind of curious if it was a satanic symbol or not. It's called a heartogram. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, you might need to turn your radio down. We're getting a feedback through there. I've not heard of that one, but somebody gave me a book here called Masonic Symbols. I don't know if that's one of theirs or not.
I guess the best thing you can go is like a Google search or something. Is this Dr. Hovind?
Yes, huh?
Okay, I'm sorry. But yeah, it's a Google, try a Google search on Heartogram. It's done, it's a band that actually created this. Bam Margin has also helped support this symbol, and I was wondering if it's satanic or not. I am not sure. It looks like a pentagram, but like instead of all five points are pointed, right? The top 2 points are rounded.
Yeah,
it
represents
like a pentagram.
Hang on, Travis, we are out of time. We'll be on the lair tomorrow. Let me see what I can find on that. We'll discuss it tomorrow, okay?
Okay, that sounds
great.
Hey,
thanks a lot. All right, folks, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.